Welcome to another Stain Gang podcast as we talk Midwestern State basketball with Justin Leslie, who's got the Midwestern State men off to a 5-0 start, opening the season with a 5-game homestand, and can't imagine any better start. You had a couple of overtime victories. I'm sure there's things you'd like to improve on, but you can't get better than 5-0.
No, you're exactly right. It's been a lot of fun so far. I mean, I think those overtime games, to your point, there are things that we should have or could have done better. But at the end of the day, just figuring out ways to win just done a lot for the confidence and just overall morale of the team. And we're looking forward to what's next.
I just want to go back to Saturday because it was such a great environment. Playing St. Mary's, obviously a conference opponent that you're going to see again in a game that will count in the conference standings. But as I told you in the post game Saturday, that didn't feel like a November basketball game, and your celebration afterwards didn't feel like a November celebration either. That was a fun basketball game. That's as entertaining a basketball game as we've seen in a while.
Yeah, I mean, after the opening weekend, we both won our games. And, St. Mary's had a little bit of buzz behind them after, beating a ranked opponent, School of Mines. There was a lot of anticipation about the quality of their recruiting class, and them being a team that is going to be a team to be reckoned with in the Lone Star. And so going into it, as you look around the conference schedule, you knew that it was going to be a game that a lot of people had their eyes on, that you have two programs that got off to albeit just a small sample size, but a good start that opening weekend. Now let's see who's for real. And, so I think both programs came in with a little bit of an edge, wanting to put their best foot forward and just show that we belong on the top, tier of the Lone Star Conference.
And it helped being at home?
No question. And it was nice that we were able to get a good crowd. The energy was just fantastic throughout. And honestly, I think it helped fuel them. It wasn't to our detriment, but it got them excited as well. Like, wow, this is a meaningful game.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people who are caring about this. And so there was a lot of emotion on both sides. And it was just a fantastic college basketball game to be a part of. There are a lot of great games that you have over the course of a season or a career. But I would certainly think that that'll be one of the games that those players remember for the rest of their lives. 4-point play to send it to overtime, which was just unbelievable. We had to execute 3 possessions in a row, offensively and defensively perfect, to even get the chance to tie it, and we did it. Right? So that, as we got into overtime and we're around that huddle, we're like, okay. Every challenge that we've talked through, in these scenarios, if we ever get there, it just happened and we did it. And I just knew going into that extra period that there was a sense of peace and calm. Having already done a double overtime game, the momentum off of Austin's shot to send it to overtime, and it powers us to 6 consecutive field goals right after that. And that's all she wrote.
Yeah, and the overtime period, that was probably as dominant a stretch as you had over the course of the game.
Yeah.
I say that, you had an 18-point lead at one point in the game, and your play-by-play guy might have jinxed you a little bit because I pretty much was putting that game in the win column. but to their credit, they came back. Yeah. And it wasn't the same as the Pueblo game, at least in my mind, because Pueblo came back in a heartbeat. They kind of steadily chipped away at their deficit and got back.
Well, it was a combination of, if you go into any game and you say, hey, coach, you're going to shoot 75% from the free throw line, I think every coach in the country would take it, right? We ended up shooting over 75% of the free throw line in that game, but we missed 6 in a row.
Yeah.
And the 6 in a row coincided with a couple calls that maybe could have gone the other way, coincided with them making some spectacular plays, a long bank 2 and a bank 3 from straight on. So it was kind of a crazy series of events that, you go back and you watch the film and you're like, what went wrong? Who screwed up? And it's like, no, that wasn't the case. I mean, it was a good basketball game. It's good teams.
Yeah.
Just how we put the run on to get the lead, they made a run to come back, and that's what you get with good teams in those situations. And so after evaluating it after the game, I mean, I think that that was just a case of, you know, we've got to get gritty, we got to get tough, and just find a way in more situations to give ourselves a little more margin for error.
And it's a lot more fun to have those teachable moments after a win, right?
There's no doubt. There's no doubt. I mean, you know, they always say, you know, when you win, you're not as good as you think you are. When you lose, you're not as bad as you think you are. And so that's easier to handle when you're, you know, in your 40s, 50s, and, you know, you've been in the game for 20, 30 years, and you understand that. But when you're a 18 to 22-year-old kid, they don't see that. And so I want to keep their confidence high. I want their belief to still be there. However, we need to be honest about our, you know, deficiencies and the areas where we need to grow. And this last week, I think, has been good for that.
You also had the game earlier in the week against Dallas Christian, which you handled them. And then you played Sterling in the Tuesday matinee, and you also handled them. So it's kind of nice to be able to win those games. And I know coaches are going to disagree when I say, but you won those games in routine fashion.
Sure. Yeah. No, there's no doubt. I mean, those games, they're important for a lot of reasons, but I think more than anything, we have a lot of guys that are a little bit farther down the bench that we're going to need at some point. For example, St. Mary's, we're down two starters, Reggie Hill and Amechi Chukwu aren't in the lineup. So there are other players who have to play extended minutes. We're going to face that again at some point in the year where someone's out. It could be in the backcourt, could be a front court player. And that's where you need to have opportunities for everyone to get in the game, get that, you know, that burn in their legs, their lungs, you know, are starting to feel it. And, you know, just to experience what it's like to be on the floor in that environment, because it's a powerful opportunity to learn, and I think that those two games provided that while also allowing me the opportunity to rest some of the guys who played some really heavy minutes previously.
We'd be remiss if we didn't talk about Pierre Sanders' triple-double. It was the first time in 22 years that a Midwestern State Mustang had a triple-double, only the second triple-double in Division II this year, and Pierre had come close on a couple of occasions. It's pretty rare. Yeah. I actually didn't realize just how rare it was when I found out that it had been 22 years since a Mustang had done that.
Well, it's also rare to find a 5'9 guard who has the motor, the want to, the will to be a dominant rebounder.
I mean, and we've talked about this since he got on campus, but he is determined to get in there and rebound, and then he can jump out of the building. So. Yeah.
Well, you know, but it's the old saying, it's not the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog.
Yeah.
And like Pierre just typifies that. I mean, he is just such a hungry competitor. Whatever it takes to help the team win, and he knows rebounding is one of those things. And, you know, a lot of point guards are going to go get assists. You have guys, you know, shooting well. We play hot possessions, sure. Super efficient on the offensive end, 13 assists, one turnover. I mean, come on.
It doesn't get much better
you know,
than that.
Like, now, not to minimize that, because that is special, but there are a lot of guards with great assist numbers, but they don't score efficiently, or they don't rebound or defend as well. Pierre's a complete player. Pierre's a winner, and, you know, he's a captain. He's our leader, and – you know, as he goes, the rest of this team is going to follow.
Yeah, in baseball, you'd call him a five-tool player.
No, that's exactly
right. He does everything that's required of a basketball player, and he just has a knack. Well, first of all, he has the courage to go in there with the big guys to rebound, and he just has a knack of being in the right place at the right time.
No, that's it. Well, and a lot of that is because of his humility, his willingness to learn and be coachable. I can say any hard thing to him, and he takes it as, you know, it truly is something that he's grateful for.
And this has been true since he was a freshman.
No, that's exactly right. I mean, there's two things that are consistent about Pierre, and I'm also going to throw in Amechi Chukwu on this. And they came in together. They've been close throughout the time, and they share this characteristic that every single time I pull them aside to tell them they did something wrong or we come in the office for a tough meeting, they always finish it with, "Thank you, coach. I appreciate you." That's how every single one in 4 years has ended. If I yank him out of the game and rip him for making a bonehead play, he will say thank you every time because he knows he needs it to better himself for the next opportunity.
You're going to have a new experience this weekend as you go on the road for the first time this year, taking on Northwestern Oklahoma State. They came in here last year and got a victory against Midwestern State. It looks like they're a fairly deliberate team, and what I mean is they're scoring 62 points a game. It seems like they're going to try to slow you down, or am I misreading that?
Yes and no. They're really in odd study in preparation. Their defensive numbers are elite. As good in the country. I mean, teams are scoring at a 0.7 points per possession.
Yeah, they're only giving up 60 points a game.
Yeah, I mean, very, very difficult to score on. Little unorthodox. They're very, very athletic and long. So similar to us, they can make seemingly routine shots harder. And so that's going to be something that we're going to need to see where we stand going on the road and still finding ways to be efficient without, you know, the confines of your home gym. But then on the flip side, offensively, they've been very inefficient. They have not shot the ball well. They've turned it over more. So it's not sure what side of the coin is going to dominate when we get in there. And so for us, we have to be very, very defensive minded when we go into that game to not allow them the opportunity to establish a rhythm yet, because they haven't this year. We have to make sure that we take that away and keep them uncomfortable and disrupted. And then on the offensive end, we're going to have to be really, really disciplined with good decisions when we attack the paint, really working to space the floor. Because if you have poor spacing or you go into the paint out of control, they're going to make you pay.
You mentioned Amici Chukwu a minute ago. We had missed him for a couple of games because of the injury he suffered in the second game of the season. But he's back. And you also mentioned Hill's been out. Any chance we see those guys in the – Amici's back. Any chance we see Hill in the near future?
Yeah, well, I mean, it was good to get Meech in the game against Sterling a little bit. You know, I mean, his presence was felt right away. I mean, minutes were limited. Just, again, wanted to get him in and out a couple times. But, you know, he was a part of, you know, some of the runs in the game just as he is. I mean, he's just such a key piece for us. So it's nice having him back. We'll just continue ramping him up. Each game, each day in practice, because, a lot of it has to do with, rhythm and feel, but fitness as well. When you're out for a period of time, there's a little bit of fitness drop. So he's working his way through that. And then, with Reggie Hill, he's getting better every day. We finished this. I'm going to go down to the training room and check in on his rehab and see where it is. But, he's steadily progressed, since his injury last week. And now it's just a matter of how soon we can get him back doing something. You know, he's back riding the bike, but, we need to get him back doing some basketball movements before there's any fitness loss for him as well.
It's been an exciting November, and the men's basketball program has been part of that. The other part of it has been what our men's soccer team is doing. Is there any relationship between the basketball team and the soccer team whatsoever?
Yeah. I think I'll just start with, the obvious. Their guys will come get rowdy at our games. I mean, they'll go sit behind the opposing bench, make some noise and have fun. And our guys have been enjoying going to the soccer games as well and watching them compete. Now, they don't I was talking with them the other day and teasing them, like, you guys don't really know how to heckle at a soccer game very well. You need to follow along with the tennis team and the others
say,
that are up there.
They should hang out with the tennis team.
That's exactly right. And they're getting excited in into those games. And obviously, when you have a team on campus that's doing as well as our soccer team is, the players are excited by that and inspired by it. And then, for myself and Michael Meacham, I love having an office across from him. He's someone that, over the last couple of years, I know has had a lot of frustrations with where they've exited the NCAA tournament and wanting to get over that hump and being challenged on a daily basis, is something that I enjoy having someone who's in such close proximity that, it's not that we're competitive against each other. It's more, you know, trying to push each other to, you know, it's hard not to be driven to be my best when I know I've got an undefeated team and coach right across the hallway who I see how hard he works. I see how committed his players are. One of the examples I've used with our guys, I mean, their guys in their rehab. You have to attack your rehab when you have injuries or you have, you know, just the little aches and pains, just like you would an opponent. I mean, it's a long season down to those tiny details. How are we doing nutrition, pregame, postgame, during game, hydration, all these things that, you know, I mean, those marginal gains that you want to attack to go out and be the best that you can, because I mean, it's a razor thin line, the difference between success and failure. And, you know, having someone like Meech and his program right there next to us, you know, I love it. I love it.
I know he's a big basketball fan as well.
Yeah. He's a big fan. He doesn't know anything about it. Right. You know, but it doesn't stop him from coming in and letting me know his thoughts on everything. And you know what? I wouldn't have it any other way. He's great.
He's so withdrawn, and
yep.
You know, I can't imagine him sharing his opinion with you.
it's a good time having having him in our department and in such close proximity. And heck, he lives down the street from me, so you know it's been a lot of fun in my time here at Midwestern, just getting to know him and being around him. He's a very driven coach who's serious about what he does and cares deeply about his program and his players being successful. And so, you know, I just try to use that as the opportunity to grow as a coach as well.
He says there's a lot of similarities between soccer and basketball. No, do you see that?
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that, you know, we talk about and I actually say to my team on a daily basis, I mean, it's, you know, spacing is offense. Offense is spacing. You know, offense is a game of trying to race the space. Defense is about taking space away, right? In angles, you know, where you are in relation to your teammates. You know, there are now the exact plays that you run, obviously, are going to be different. But in terms of those basic concepts of how you manipulate a defense and develop a rhythm and a flow in a game, there is a lot of translation.
Got any great Thanksgiving plans?
Well, long story short, I was my family was hoping to go down to see my daughter play basketball down in San Antonio, but she won her volleyball conference tournament.
She's too good a volleyball player.
So she's off the NCAA tournament, so I'm going to be home with her while my wife and other two children will be down in Austin with family, because they were hoping to be able to see family in Austin and then head to San Antonio to see her. So, you know, it's going to be, I guess, a pretty quiet Thanksgiving. Basketball practice Thursday night, you know, giving the boys 2 days off, and then we'll be back in town Thursday night, Thanksgiving night for our practice, and we have to get ready for Northwestern, Oklahoma State.
Some of the guys will get a chance to go home for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, they took off. A lot of them went down to the Metroplex with some of our more local players on Tuesday after the game with Sterling, and then they'll be able to come back, you know, Thursday. They'll be able to have Thanksgiving in the afternoon with their families, then come back up for practice.
Fantastic. Glad they're going to get eats and treats.
Absolutely.
Happy Thanksgiving, Justin. And thanks to the men's basketball team for providing such great entertainment here at the start of the season. That's Justin Leslie, the head basketball coach here at Midwestern State. That's this week's podcast. Be sure to tell your friends about the podcast. Be sure you're making your plans to come see Midwestern State play. The conference campaign is going to start November 30th, and you're going to want to be part of what's happening at DL Ligon Coliseum. I'm Pete Stein. Happy Thanksgiving. So long.